and welcome to the 27th episode of OMG Craft. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? I don't know if you can believe it. It's unbelievable. Last episode, we actually had a commenter on our YouTube page. I couldn't come up with something quick enough to describe the number of... Whoa. That's what happens when you go to YouTube without expecting it. I couldn't come up with a description for the number of the episode. And luckily, we had a faithful YouTube commenter, John Bobley, who said 26 is the only integer that is one greater than the square of the previous integer and one less than the cube of 20. So square of 25, the cube of 27. Listen, I didn't take math in high school. No, I did take math in high school. But wow, that is what... Now, I am at the same loss for this episode, episode 27. No idea. If someone in the chat room has anything to describe in episode 20... Listen, we're into the weird numbered episodes. I'm sorry. Our staff writers can't come up with anything else for us. My name is Chad Johnson. I am the host of this OMG Craft. If you are hoping to learn how to knit and crochet in this episode, I'm very sorry. I have some bad news for you. This is a Minecraft show. We actually don't do any crafting of any sort. Sorry, we're gonna cover the video game Minecraft. I'm sorry. Sorry to lay that one on the line. So in the chat room it says 27. This is Agent X. Is 27 bottles of potions on the wall? That's a good one. Boy 89 says no crocheting, no knitting. Sad face. I'm sorry. Okay, this episode, man, I am really excited. This is something that I've wanted to get into for a while, and we are going to cover in depth is trading, villager trading. First off, we're just going to get into it all as we do on OMG Craft. We're going to get into the nitty gritty of trading to make sure that you guys understand every single element of it. Of course, before we go into the big tutorial for the episode, we have to start off with some news. So this week, there actually is not a snapshot, the weekly developer builds that Mojang gives us. Why is there not a snapshot? Well, the team at Mojang is doing a really fancy thing called the Humble Bundle. This is the Mojam, where if we tune in live right now, it looks like some poor programmer is wearing bunny ears and juggling with what the heck is written on his shirt. He's not really that great at juggling. Future games. I guess that's what it says. I could juggle better than him. Man, he's not that great. I wish that I had juggling apparatus here. I have two Angry Birds. All I have is two Angry Birds. Let me go grab these two Angry Birds. Okay. Side-by-side comparison. This guy... he's doing pretty good. He's getting a cascade. I only have two, so it's a little different. But I feel like I can juggle a little bit better than his three ball. You know, this is two ball juggling. But hey, and I happen to be in the middle of hosting a show. Okay, cut back to him. What is he juggling now? Pillows? He totally stole my idea. Listen, one hand, someone says in the chat room. Come on! Okay, wait, one hand. These things make noise. Okay, here we go. One-handed juggling. Oh, I'm not that great at that. Okay, well, anyway, you can see how exciting the Mojam is. Because you get to see people not only juggling, not only wearing crazy hats, but also coding and making new games. The whole idea behind Mojam is that a few companies, there's a whole bunch of different ones, there's about five companies, they get together and they code a game in 3 days. So you can actually see in the background there, I believe that that is Jeb with his ponytail getting very frustrated at code. Not sure who the pink eared guy is. But the idea is that you get to watch these guys code, and then you can donate to the Humble Bundle, not only get these prototype video games, but also help out the EFF and a few charities that are involved. So if you decide to back the project, right now there are 43 hours remaining. You can decide how much of your charity goes to the various projects. You can also download these games DRM free. Also, the Humble Bundle tends to have and same thing with this project. They support cross-platform initiatives. So you can see the different people who have downloaded this. This is useful for Mac, Windows, and Linux users. And then you also get to see, it looks like, whoa, some guy, wow, anonymous, donated $100,000. Good for you. And the Jinx crew, the Jinx people are the people who make the Minecraft merchandise, the shirts and hoodies and such like that. So if you are interested, you can go to humblebundle.com right now and check out the live stream. It's kind of cool because right now in the United States, even though it's late, wherever they are, they seem to still be awake. And they have some guy on the camera all the time. Look at this guy going crazy. Just getting shots of that guy in a hoodie, the stickers, and that hot water heater. Look at that wall. Man, this is real interesting stuff. I can't wait to watch more. Anyway, back on to the show. So, because of the Humble Bundle Mojang sort of situation, there isn't a snapshot this week. But that does not mean that we are out of Minecraft news. Jeb has tweeted a few bits of information that look very, very appealing. First is a little bit of semi-sad news. Not exactly everything that we want to hear, but he says there will be no new mobs in 1.6. There will be new mobs in 1.6, but not in 1.5. So we're going to have to wait a little bit longer for new sort of interactive characters in the game of Minecraft, but nothing to be released in 1.5. That's interesting, and that isn't super surprising because we've known that 1.5 is going to be the Redstone update. It's more tailored towards in-game mechanics than the building of more creative gameplay, sort of like the pretty scary update was, where they brought in the witch, they brought in the bat, they brought in a whole bunch of extra characters. So that's not incredibly surprising that there won't be any new mobs in 1.5 because we knew that this was going to be the Redstone update. Now, this brings into question, what is going to happen in 1.6 if Jeb can definitively say that there are going to be mobs in 1.6? If you try to speculate towards the future, maybe it is more of a gameplay update. Maybe it's more, I mean, that's really all that I can think of, because there's a few sort of pillars of Minecraft, and Redstone is one of those pillars. I would say enchanting and tools is another one of those pillars. Then there's gameplay, which includes the villagers, the spiders, the skeletons, the creepers, that sort of thing. And so, it opens up sort of the possibility that in 1.6, it's going to be more of a gameplay-focused update. instead of the Redstone update, which we see with 1.5. Not that I'm not excited about the Redstone update, because I believe that that will give a lot of tools to map developers and people who want to build things, who want to, like, you know, hand craft things inside of Minecraft. So anyway, a really cool look towards the future. Also, Jeb tweeted that the health bar may be changing. He says, I'm leaning towards doing something radical on Minecraft, changing health from 20 to 20.0 and reducing randomness of damage. But first, Mojam, which obviously he's working on Mojam right now, a little bit busy. This brings in more speculation. What? First, 20 to 20.0, that assumes that health will be much more, you know, sort of sliced, thinly sliced, where instead of a random hit between 3 to 5 half hearts, it would be exactly 3.5 hearts. And hopefully there would be either it would round on your health bar, or you would know exactly how much a skeleton is going to hurt you. This could bring up interesting things for map creators with creating sort of grinding scenarios where they fill your health and then they send you through a tunnel that you have to go through. And so you're left with half a heart, and you know that you're at half a heart, and you have to beat sort of a map area with half a heart. I'm more apprehensive to really parse what this tweet means, but it's exciting all the same that maybe there's a more standard definition of how much health is given or taken away with a certain either hit with a certain damage percentage or a health potion. So anyway, very, very interesting stuff happening this week, even though there is no snapshot. And the previous snapshots we've seen have been mostly bug fixes, which leads me to believe that we are coming up on a major release sometime soon, and that Mojang is already looking towards what the next major release is going to be. So they're kind of finishing up 1.5, and maybe they're already looking towards 1.6 for the next release, which is very, very exciting. And that brings us to the big tutorial of this episode, which is trading. Trading with villagers. Trading with villagers was released a while back, where you can go up to a villager and right-click them and trade some of the items in your inventory for other items that the villager will give to you. It's a way of getting either rare items, super rare items. Some of them are absolutely very, very rare. And some of them are sort of normal items that actually just kind of cost a lot when you trade. Some things that were brought up right in the beginning by the Mojang team is that these villager trades are very, very frugal. They're really stingy villagers. So you're going to see that throughout the tutorial. Some other things to bring up is that... So we're going to go through what each of the villagers do, because each of them are different. Then we're going to go into really kind of specific each villager and what you can expect to trade from them. Then we're going to get into how you can code your own villagers if you are a map maker and want to do all of that, all that sort of stuff yourself. So we have a custom world set up by, of course, our producers of OMG Craft, T2T2 and Cheeto. Big thanks to them for creating. Oop! I just realized that I have a mod that will not allow me to launch this world. So let me go ahead and turn off that mod that has 12 errors, login. Here we go. So first, let me go through what each of these specific villagers will allow you to trade. There are a few different types in Minecraft. White Apron is the butcher, and the next is the blacksmith. You can see the difference between the apron and the clothes. Then we have the purple clothes, which is the priest. Then the white clothes, which is the librarian. And then the farmer who has brown clothes, who's just a normal old dude. And then there's actually a villager which you can only hack into the game, and he has green clothes. And we're actually going to hack him into the game a little bit later. So let me go through what each of these villagers do, because they each have different trading associated with each of the different villager. So first, let me start off with the butcher. The butcher will give you thing. He will buy from you things like charcoal, raw beef, and of course, all of these villagers buy emerald. Now, the thing that the butcher will sell you are things that the butcher has, like leather armor, saddle, cooked pork chop, and steak. Those sorts of things. Then also, and then he'll buy from you things like turn into emeralds, charcoal, coal, raw pork, raw beef, and gold ingots. You know, things that butchers could use. So a good way to think of him is if you're going to go into some sort of shop, you're going to need to talk to a butcher with a white apron. Sort of makes sense. So let's do some of these trades. Let me grab a few of these devices and then save these guys for later. It's later on in the episode. That's kind of a teaser. So with these villagers, anytime that you trade with them, all you have to do is drop in your items and then pull out your other item. If you drop in something that isn't compatible, the item will not show up on the other side of sort of the crafting thing. Each time that you pull out an item, the villager will sort of be happy with you with these nice little sparkles, and you'll see these particle effects around the villager. Now, there are a few things that are, and now that I've traded with him, I can move on to the next level. So because he's a butcher, first he gave me leather caps, which is, a butcher would have. Now let me grab, some steaks for an emerald. Remember, emeralds are super rare blocks in the game. So emeralds spawn in extreme hill biomes, and they're pretty difficult. So getting one emerald for six steak isn't actually quite the best trade, in my opinion. But if you're in a hurt and you have some emeralds, you need some steaks, or you want to upgrade this villager to allow you to get, better trades, that might be something that you'd want to do. And knowing exactly what each villager will trade is really, really useful. So knowing that this is the butcher villager could be quite useful in your game if you want to start upgrading your villagers in the future, because you know that the only thing that you're really going to get out of him is leather armor, cooked steak, pork chop, that sort of thing. So now I've upgraded him a few times, and I can get things like leather pants. Another thing to note is that about every third time that you trade with him, there is a chance that that thing will be... Oops, sorry, I'm throwing my emeralds in your face. There's a chance that that trade will actually go away. So in a natural trading situation, you have that chance that the trade will deteriorate, and you won't be able to trade that item anymore. So let's go on to the blacksmith. Now, the blacksmith will buy from you things like coal, charcoal, iron ingots, gold ingots, and diamond. Then he'll give to you things like iron tools, diamond tools, iron armor, diamond armor, and the very rare thing is chainmail armor. So if we trade with him a few times, I'm going to fill up my inventory really fast with this guy. Same sort of situation where when you trade with him and he's happy, he will give out these sparkles, and you can move on to the next thing. Woohoo! I got a random item. Chainmail is really interesting because, and of course, it costs 10 emeralds. Now, this is a random emerald count. So there's a variability between the amount of emeralds that a villager will give you. So I just traded chain with him, and that cannot be crafted or gotten or received other than, really random And really rare drops. Then he also has a diamond axe for 10. So these sort of trades are really, really useful. Remember that the blacksmith is with dark armor. Another thing to mention is with trades, if you go ahead and make this guy mad by, say, punching him, you can see these little sort of angry notes coming off of him. Sometimes you will lose trades or lose the ability to use useful things with this villager if the villager gets mad at you. So please do not punch your villagers. Be nice to your villagers. So next up is the priest. It looks like the priest is giving me glowstone at the moment. For single, you know, that's pretty good. If you happen to have used up all your glowstone in your world, that's a pretty good trade. So the priest will only buy from you to turn into emeralds gold. That's all that he will buy from you. He's kind of a prude when it comes to that sort of stuff. But he will sell some of the most interesting things. The priest will. Oh, see, looks like I used up this. This was a random sort of degradation of the trade that I was allowed with this priest villager. When you can't trade this item with them anymore, this X will appear over the arrow that goes into the next slot, and you can't trade with them anymore. So that I'm glad that actually happened during the show. You can't do that. The priest will give you sort of more. Let me grab a whole... Wow. So you can get enchanting bottles from him. You can get glowstone from him. You can also get Eyes of Ender, redstone, and, of course, the glowstone that I got earlier. I'm going to grab a whole bunch of these because that's real cool to see the bottle of enchanting inside of this priest. Now, each time that you want the certain mob to upgrade, you have to sort of back out of the screen, which is what I'm doing. Now I can also trade this glowstone again, and it looks like I will get this diamond chest with projectile protection. I'm so glad that he gave me this trade because priests can offer enchanted items if you give them the item and the number of emeralds. So the item will be sort of random in between 5 to 19 levels. This is a really, really, really good projectile protection 3 is a pretty good enchantment to get from this type of villager. It's not protection will do everything. Projectile protection will, of course, save you against arrows and I think arrows is the only projectile that is in the game. So the priest has a sort of extra function in that he will offer enchantments to you once you sort of upgrade him. Next is the librarian. The librarian will buy from you into emeralds things like the paper book, a written book, gold ingots, and I believe that is just about it. Now, the librarian will sell to you. Oh, this is an interesting thing. I didn't upgrade him, but he has taken the glass, or he has taken away his glass ability. So it looks like I actually can't upgrade this guy anymore. Come on. I'm also going to steal my... Oh, yeah, that's right. Just fall down in there. Meh. That's what you get for not giving me a trade. The librarian will give you things like bookshelves, enchanted books, so that you can enchant your stuff later with an anvil, and glass, a compass, and a clock. So he'll give you those sorts of things. And then the green villager is interesting in that he is only obtainable by using either a filter or a server command or a hack in the game to get him in your game. And he will buy nothing from you, so you can't get emeralds from him, but he will only sell you gold ingots. That's the only thing he will do. So, let's talk about a few of the ways that you can get villagers. And one of the easiest ways that I have found to be able to get villagers in your game is to actually get zombie villagers and then turn them into normal villagers. And I'll explain how to turn them into normal villagers in just a second, but let me explain why I like this method over the other normal villagers. The reason is because normal villagers only spawn in a village. You have to go adventuring through your map, find a village, find all these villagers. It turns out normally they've left their house and they're just walking all around. You have to wait till night until they all go into a house, and then zombies come and then they kind of attack them, and it just seems like a hassle. You also can't get villagers to follow you in a really reliable way, and so it's just difficult to deal with normal villagers. Zombie villagers, on the other hand, will always follow you. Because they're zombies, because they want to kill your face, and they'll just follow you. So if you come across a zombie villager at night, what I tend to do is walk up to them, let them follow me, and then trap them somehow in my house. Trap them near the other villagers that I have. Also, if they see a villager, they'll go try to attack them. And you can sort of try to push them into an area. Push them into the area, block them off. Sometimes it hurts me a few hearts. But then you can turn zombie villagers into normal villagers, and let me show you exactly how you do that. Now, first off, zombie villagers look different than normal villagers. Here is what a zombie villager looks like. You can tell that he's a zombie villager because he sort of has that elongated face, and he has that nose, which most zombies do not. So if you see a normal zombie, you can't just turn a normal zombie into a villager. It's kind of sad, I know. I wish that you could just turn all zombies into villagers. But you have to find these that look like these little testificates. They look like the villagers, except that they're all zombified. So here's how you turn a zombie into a villager. First, what you need is a splash potion of weakness. The splash potion of weakness, you can use a fermented spider eye in your brewing stand on an awkward potion, and that's how you get the potion of weakness. Then you use a piece of gunpowder to make it a splash potion of weakness. All you have to do is throw this at your zombie. And now you can see that he's sort of activated with this potion. And then you feed him a golden apple. And isn't that a crazy sound? Now the zombie is sort of freaking out. You can see that he's shaken. He's kind of like, I don't know how to deal with myself. I'm turning out of a zombie into a villager. And he will transform from a zombie villager into just a normal villager. This process takes around 3 minutes to complete, give or take a little while. You can speed up this process by placing him in iron bars, which is what I did. I put him in, which is actually what Cheeto and Titu did. I put him in iron bars, and this speeds up the process, or also place beds next to him. Punch the last villager. It's no. I was hoping that he would actually transfer. So I was trying to read notes from our producer. So while we're waiting for this guy, we're gonna leave the sound on because you actually will hear the sound from the villager turning into a normal villager. This is actually the brown suited villager, even though he looks like the librarian. Go away, librarian. We're trying to get to this guy. This is the farmer, and I forgot to mention the farmer. The farmer will buy things from you, like wheat, wool, raw chicken, cooked fish, and gold ingots. And it looks like right now he wants to buy books from me. So we're going to give him some books, and we can get some emeralds. This is my favorite way to get emeralds in the game, because emeralds are really freaking hard to find in game. And I hope, wait, was I talking? Oh, I was talking to the librarian, of course, because the librarian takes books from you. I was confused by that. You know what? Freaking librarian, go away. I'm going to just kill you. You know what? Just die. That's it. Librarian, you know what? You have made me too mad. Yeah, that's right. Yo, farmer, what's up? That's right. So this is my favorite way to get emeralds in the game, because emeralds are hard to find in-game, and something like chicken, you can just create a chicken farm and get emeralds. Chickens are completely renewable, really an easy way to, and not just farmers, but the trades that some of these guys give. So then I can use those emeralds to get flint and steel. Now, of course, you are trading here four emeralds for what is essentially a iron ingot and a flint, piece of flint, which is truly not that great of a trade, but perhaps you want to get the other trades that the farmer will give you. He will give you things like bread, melon, apple, cookies, shears, flint and steel, cooked chicken, and arrow flint. Now, did you just hear that? That was our zombie turning into a villager, and it looks like we got a librarian. Hey, librarian, he's going to give us 26 paper for a single emerald. Awesome! Okay, so that's one way to get villagers in your game, and I really like that way because you can manage where they arrive. Next, let me just kind of show you. This is a village. This is actually a sand village. And you see, We've kind of actually added a whole bunch of extra villagers. Hey, villagers, how's it going? There's lots of iron golems here because there's so many villagers. I actually kind of want to show a technique of if you're having a hard time getting zombie villagers, a technique on how to get normal villagers in your game, and that includes all you have to do is sort of have a stack of any type of material. And then having it be night. So let's just set it to night. Oop. I used too many words. And let's set it actually to 2,000. Nope, not 2,000. 20,000. Bam. So now that it's actual nighttime. Oh, you know what? T2 was real smart, and he put down glowstone everywhere. But the problem with villagers is that they tend to be outside and sort of unmanageable. So if you wait until nighttime, all the villagers will actually start to run into these houses. And once they're inside of a house, they're much, much more manageable. But, of course, your problem is that when it becomes day, they're going to friggin' leave their house, these stupid villagers. So my favorite thing to do is to go up to a place and just put dirt in front of once a house is kind of full of villagers, just trap them in there by putting down a piece of dirt, and they can't leave, they can't enter, and also zombies cannot jump into the house. Now, one thing is if you just right-click on a door, it's just going to open the door. If you hold down shift and right-click, then it'll actually put it on the door without you doing that. So whenever I find a village, this is actually the first thing I do. I check if there's a villager in the house. So if you ever come across a villager in a server and there's all these places of dirt on the doors, this is actually kind of what's going on. Sometimes it's fun to see. It's like, man, there's a party going on in that house. You've got villagers on the roof. You got villagers on the bottom. You also have this toadstool-looking house, which is what we made to just kind of show our thing. So that's a kind of a nice tip to keep villagers sort of in an area that you can manage them. Is all you have to do is put one block in front of the door, and they will stay in the house, and you don't have to worry about them dying. You don't have to worry about zombies coming in later and killing all of your villagers, and which is just isn't fun. And iron golems going crazy. So let me now show you how you would create villagers in your game if you wanted to create a map to be able to have villagers in it that would have your custom trades. So the things that you're going to need to pull this off are Some chests. So we'll grab some chests. I'm going to get rid of that sword because I just don't need it. And a program called MC Edit. MC Edit is an amazing program which allows you to, via the program, sort of go into a completely different version of Minecraft and edit the crap out of it. The third thing that you're going to need is a filter by Seth Bling. And you can go to sethbling.com/download/mcedit-filters/create-shops. And that is his filter. And he tends to keep these up to date really, really well. And he also has a nice tutorial video on how to do that. But let me run through how you would do it as well. What you're going to do is you're going to go ahead and, let's create an area that we know that the testificates will not leave. So I'm going to build it on top of this house just so he's not going to go anywhere. Your first step is to throw down a chest. Whoops. And luckily I'm in creative mode, so I can just drop it right here. Put down a chest. Go ahead and open this chest, and here is how you're going to think about... Sorry, I realized I wasn't showing my game, but now I am. I'm on top of a roof, and that's where I'm going to create my MC Edit filter testificate. Think about this chest in terms of the way that the villagers trade. The villagers trade two items for one item. It could just be one of the items that you need to trade, but there's two slots for incoming and one slot for outgoing. So think of it that way, and these top two rows in this column are the incoming, and this bottom row is the outgoing. So this villager, let's have his first trade be one emerald. And out of that one emerald, we're going to get 21 bottles of enchanting. This is a trade that would never happen in-game. There's just no possible way via the algorithms that are inside of Minecraft that this would ever, ever, ever happen. Next, let's just go ahead and say for one leather cap, let's get 11 glowstone. In fact, let's make it that you need a leather hat and an iron shovel. Finally, let's go ahead and say you need a piece of glass and some glowstone to get some chain leggings. So I hope that you can easily tell sort of how this is going to work. If it doesn't make sense, quite easy. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and hit escape. Save and quit. You have to save your game. Let's go ahead and open up MC Edit, which is on my... this is on it's pretty much exactly the same on Mac or PC. We're going to load in a world. Oh, I think I screwed up the thing because I made a big... We're going to load in a world, and OMG Craft Trading is the name of the world that we were using. And let me see if I can... No, wow, something is weird. Okay, so let's just virtually zoom in. Not sure why this was not working. When you get into the world, you can zoom around. I should probably do a tutorial on MC Edit just because it is so freaking useful. But you can see that this is where I was as a player before. And that's where the player was. And the thing that I'm looking at, this block is actually the chest. I can double click the chest and see what's inside of it. We can see the leather cap, the glass, the iron shovel, the glowstone, the bottle of enchanting, that sort of stuff is inside the chest. That's great. Now what we're going to do is click it once, and that should set down here. Let me deselect everything. Clicking it once, we'll put the first selection down, and then clicking it a second time, we'll put down the second selection. So we've just selected one block. Then we're going to go down to this tray at the bottom, which sort of looks like your hot selection tray. And we're going to click filters. Then from this area, we're going to click. Right now we're on classic water flood, but we're going to click that and go down to create shops. This is the filter that I downloaded earlier from Seth Bling's website. If you're wondering how to get this filter into your game, all you have to do is click this filter, this filter text. It doesn't look like it, but that is actually a clickable source, And this brings up the folder that you are going to add what you downloaded from Seth Bling's website. And it shows up that it's actually on the Mac side. It's actually inside of the app underneath resources, you know, content, filters, resources, resources, then filters. Like, it's hard for me to explain. So all you have to do is click that filter button, and you jump straight into the folder where the app is saving it, which is really, really useful. In this case, I'm going to go ahead and create a green villager because we haven't seen one of those yet. And then you actually and you can click this and choose. So let's say that you had created something that was similar to a blacksmith and you wanted to create a blacksmith. You can go ahead and do that. But I'm going to create a green villager because we haven't seen that villager yet in the game. You can also do a few extra selections. Let's go through. First, unusable items would be items like the disc that is unusable in game, or like a sponge, that sort of thing. And you can add that to the villager's inventory. Next is the invincible villager. What this will do is it will add a resistance 4 potion thing to the villager that will last actually around 3 years. So if you're playing on a server, as long as that server isn't around in 3 years, this invincible villager filter will work just fine. Next is unlimited trades, and that's on by default. And that's because, like I said earlier, you only have there is a chance that after 3 trades, that trade will become unavailable, and this overrides that ability. So once you're done with that, go ahead and hit filter, and some things that I haven't hit it yet, but this should change into a exception drain filter operations console for details. So not a tag list. Meh. Oh, well, I don't know what that error was, but it worked the second time. That's great. So it's turned from that block that we were seeing before into a sort of like a half slab looking red block, which is actually what we want. This is the villager sort of thing that shows up. If you go into here, like, this is where some villagers were before. And they're all sort of these half slab things. So this is actually exactly what we want. We're going to hit save, and it's going to save all that out. I'm going to go ahead and quit and jump back into my single player game and see if that all worked out. Hopefully it did. And bam, look at that. Wow, it worked. I'm so glad. So now we have this green villager, which, as we've learned before, is unobtainable unless if you hack him in. So luckily we did. If we right-click him, we see the trade that we had before, which was the single emerald for the 21 bottles of enchanting. Heck yeah, I'm going to take that. I got almost a stack of enchants. Unfortunately, because he has the invincible setting on, it's hard to tell when he upgrades to the next thing. But he has. So now, if I use a leather cap and an iron shovel, we can get 21 glowstone out of that. And that is how we create villagers that have the trades that we want them to have inside of Minecraft. I hope that you have learned everything that you possibly wanted to have learned about trading inside of Minecraft. Now you know which villagers will trade you with what, so which ones you want to upgrade, what they may give you in the future. Those blacksmith villagers are really, really useful folks. They're the ones with the black apron. We also learned together that there's a difference between apron and clothes. The apron is an apron. The clothes go down the arms. And we also learned how to create our own very custom villagers. So thank you for watching this episode of OMG Craft. If you guys have a question or a suggestion, a tip, anything that you want to send my way, please do. It is mail@omgcraft.com, and I will read it personally. Sometimes I don't always respond, But I do read them, and we will throw them into shows if they are useful in the future. Another thing, if you want to send a video question, just upload it to your favorite video provider like YouTube, Vimeo, any of those guys. Please don't send me attachments. I just can't open them using the mail service that we do. Anyway, all of that is available. If you have any questions about any of the stuff that we talked about on this episode, our amazing producers, T2 and Cheeto, make up great show notes at this episode number. So omgcraft.com/27, which is this episode number, are the show notes for this episode. You can also go to omgcraft.com and watch all of our episodes all the way back to episode one. Huge thanks to T2 and Cheeto for helping me out with this episode. I could not have done it without you. Also, just to let you know, in the future, around April 1st or 2nd, I swear that it's not an April 1st joke, we are actually joining the Twit Network. We haven't done it yet. We are in transition mode. But starting in April, lots and lots of stuff will be changing. We will be changing formats. It won't be as long form. It'll be much more easy for you to digest all of the stuff that we talk about in this show. I think that it is going to be... I'm so excited about it. I'm really, really excited about it. And I'm just letting you know that look around April time, some things with this show will be changing, but it'll still be me. It'll still be Minecraft. And I think that it is for the better. Absolutely. So, thank you so much for hanging out with me this episode. I will see you guys on another episode of OMG Craft. Bye!